Hello, thank you so much for being here to learn about Bitachon. It's April 2nd, and I think Chaf Gimel Adar Sheni, and we're continuing to learn about different aspects of Bitachon. I want to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for always sponsoring this year, and I want to tell you what I mean. We take 960 breaths per hour on an average, which is about 23,040 breaths per day. This is how we breathe, Baruch Hashem. And over a year, the person breathes about 8,409,600 times. Kol ha'neshama tehallel ka. Every soul prays Hashem, but we know Chazal say, al kol neshima u'neshima tehallel ka. That every neshama, for every breath, for every neshima, we need to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, for every hour for sponsoring 960 neshimos per hour, which adds up to 8,409,600 per year. And I feel especially close to Hashem today because of this morning's experience. We have a little bit of stormy weather going on. And as I was leaving to shul today, so, of course, I got a notification, an email, and a text message that there's a severe thunderstorm warning, not a watch, but a warning. It is in Versailles. That's where the storm is. Now I say, oh, Versailles, that's like the Versailles Treaty, right? Like overseas? No, it's Versailles, Indiana, which is about over an hour away. So I made a cheshbon. Okay, it's traveling at 55 miles per hour, the storm, over an hour away. It is a warning, but whatever that means, there are fringes of the storm. I see I have plenty of time to just not going to walk today to shul because lightning isn't a good idea to walk in. So I did notice thunder and lightning on the way out, said a bracha on each of them, and off I went to shul for the 2 minute drive. And Baruch Hashem, as I pulled into the parking lot, it really started to rain, torrential rain. And then I said to myself, well, I'm not going to just sit here. I do have an umbrella, but you know the kind of rain that umbrellas don't really help for. So I said, well, I can wait a little bit and then I'm going to go. Maybe it will let up a tiny bit. And Baruch Hashem, lo and behold, the rain let up slightly. I said, that's my cue. I hit my umbrella switch, out the door, start walking from my car into the shul, which is approximately a 20-second journey from where I usually park. I parked a little closer to get into the shul. About halfway through, which I'll estimate at about 10 seconds, the entire sky exploded. And I not only saw it, but heard it. And the Chazal call it the Kippas HaShemayim. It's like a dome. The whole dome was illuminated and sounded such. And I don't know how high I jumped, but Baruch Hashem, I ended up back on the ground, walked the remaining 10 seconds, came into shul, and visibly shaken, maybe not visibly, depending if anybody noticed. Well, there was only one person there, someone who I always say good morning to, and usually greet first because we know Chazal say you're supposed to be machdim b'shalom kol adam. You should try at least midas chasidus to greet first. Well, for some reason, maybe because I was so distracted, he got to it first. And he knows that I usually walk to shul. So he said, good morning. And I said, good morning. And he said, you know, I'll give you a ride home. And I said, it's okay. I drove today. Okay. So that was how today started out. And I realized, you know what? The Ribbono Shel Olam timed the thunder, the loudest thunder that I ever heard. Well, that's exaggerating. It's probably among the top three that I ever heard. Unexpectedly, and as I came into shul, I realized how calm I was. It calmed me down because first it shook me up a lot, and then I said, "Wait a minute! I know the Gemara Brachos Perakaroa, and it tells us exactly why thunder was created." And once I came to terms with that Gemara again, which we do teach in and we learn it in Koheles class because it's in conjunction with the Pasuk in Koheles, I said to myself, "This experience is and an emancipation of sorts. It's a release of responsibility because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so much in charge. He controls so much He controls everything. I can make choices, of course, Yiras Shamayim. But he's so in control, he's trying to remind me that I shouldn't agonize over things about which I might be agonizing and aggravated. And I said to myself, I feel very serene now during davening because I see Ribono Shel Olam, I'm in your hands. If you can cause the whole world to explode like that and it jumps me out of my skin, then you're in charge. So why should I be upset about things that I can't control? You're really in control. And the pasuk that I'm talking about is in Koheles Perek Gimel. Yodati Sted Shlomo HaMelech. I have known and I know. He call Asher Yasehu Elokim. All that Hashem will do, Hu Yeh Le'olam, it will be forever. Now Rashi explains, this has to do with Maaseh Bereishis, with what we call Teva, what seems to be the natural world. It has a pattern. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west, etc. Olav Ein Lehosi. One cannot add on to it. I can't say, well, let's change things. Let's tweak things a little bit. We'll change the Zmanim. We'll shift the cosmos. We'll do something with the astronomical celestial bodies to change the pattern. No, Olav Ein Lehosi. If I can't do that, human beings are not able to. Hashem is in control. U'mimenu Ein Ligroa. One cannot subtract or detract from it either. Elokim Asa Sheyiru Milfanav. And Hashem has done, Hashem performs miracles and spectacles. Why has he done such a thing? In order that people will have Yiras Shamayim. That's why, to instill us with fear. As Rashi explains, what does it mean all that Hashem will do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'maseh Bereishis, in the creation of the natural world, Hu Roi Lihiyos La'olam. It's appropriate and worthy that it's going to be forever. The Ein L'shanosa, one cannot change it. Lo b'tosefes, below b'giron. I'm reading your Rashi and Koheles, Perek Yomo, Pasik Yedalot. We cannot add on, we can't subtract from it. But when it does change, when things are unusual, when there are extremes, Ho'elokim tziva, Hashem is the one who commanded this. V'asa, he did it. That something should be different. In order that people will fear from in front of them. What does the Gemara of Bracha say? Daf Nun Tes? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and we've talked about this before, said Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lo nivru ra'amim. Thunder was not created, Ella, except for one purpose. There's only one purpose for thunder. The fashtate akmumius sebelev, to straighten out crookedness that's in the heart. Any doubts, any slanted, distorted attitudes and hashkafos, they get taken care of in a second, a split second, by a thunderclap. It happened to me today. And I'm just looking because it says the video has stopped, so I'm not sure about why it says that. But anyway, oh yes, we know why that's true. I'm really getting used to the Zoom thing here. That's right. It is. Everything's cool here. So anyway, it says that the Ribono Shel Olam scares us out of our wits sometimes. That's what happened to me today. There's this thing bothering me. There's the weather I'm concerned about. There's all kinds of things. And then what happened? Boom! Just stop it. Just stop for a second and take stock of your life. The Ribono Shel Olam straightens me out. And I go into davening and I say in the Halleluka, Ruach Sa'ara Osa Devaro. It says that a stormy wind that comes along. Why does the stormy wind come along? It's Osa Devaro. It's surgically precise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one making the wind blow. We've said it so many times. There's not ever too many times to say this, because people say the weather is, now this is the one that's really irritating, Mother Nature, Mother Nature, Ribono Shel Olam, he's the weather. So, and it's windy, it's Mashiv HaRuach, Hashem makes the winds blow. Ruach Se'ara, Osa Devaro. Stormy wind, what's it doing? Osa Devaro. It is doing Hashem's word. That means wherever that wind goes, Hashem is dictating. Hashem set the GPS on the wind, whatever kind of wind it is. And that's what this Gemara says, Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Hashem has done, he has wrought miracles every single day. He's created thunder just to get people's attention, to remember that Ribono Shel Olam is in charge. It's not mistakable. How can a person not fear Hashem when there's a thunder like that? And as Rav Baruch Levi Epstein explains in the Torah Tamima, Tosef is this thing about thunder. And by the way, Rashi said that's Kishanish Tana, that's a Shinoi. Thunder is different from the regular, serene, quiet day that a person would usually experience. That's a Shinoi, that's a change, and that is in order that people should fear Hashem. As Rav Baruch Lev Epstein explained, it's liyasher hadeos ha'akumos shebelev. It's to straighten out the crooked, what we call in yeshiva krum, the distorted ideas and philosophies that are in a person's heart, belev ha'adam. But he says, how do Chazal know this? How do we get this Torah Shabbat Peh Pshat? What justifies it? That's because hudavar ha'machrid biyoser. It's extremely frightening. Usually when we don't expect it, even if we do expect it, it's right. There's nowhere to run. What benefit in, let's say, commerce or in industry is there from thunder? We can't take thunder and use it the way you can use lightning. There are lightning rods, you can use electricity, but thunder? There's no use for thunder in the world of nature, in a human, mundane world. It can only be for this purpose, to instill us with Yiras Shamayim. And the Yiras Shamayim might be like, for me, don't worry so much. You think you're responsible for stuff? Boom, there's the thunder. You're not responsible. I'm going to show you you're not responsible. You couldn't control that thunder. You couldn't generate it, and you couldn't stop it. Well, guess what? All the other stuff that we agonize over and we're anxious about, we're not able to start it. We're not able to stop it. So sit back and watch the show. We may as well enjoy it and have bitachon. Do the best we can. I know I did the best I could. Then I should be happy. And I also said to myself, I walked into that shul with my friend. He doesn't know what just happened. He was inside. He was actually vacuuming. I didn't even know how loud the thunder was through the vacuum. So I said to myself, there's another lesson there. He, if he sees the way I look, wouldn't know why I looked that way. I don't know how. If I looked shaken or whatever, laughed nervously, whatever it was. My Rebbe told me one time in yeshiva, Rabbi Maimon, he said, we never know what's going on with Yanim. You don't know what's going on with another person. And that's just a secondary lesson that came out of this little story for me, that if somebody is not nice to me, if I walk by somebody and that person does not say hello, that person turns the other way. So the reaction is, oi, did I do something wrong? Or did that person do something wrong? What's wrong? Yeah, but we don't know what's going on with that person. That person might be distracted. So it's the same thing. I walked in. I just went through that thing. I'm not going to start saying to people, by the way, this is what just happened to me. In case I look a little bit strange right now, a little bit out of sorts. I'm not going to bother doing that. People don't bother explaining what they're going through for whatever reasons. There are many reasons not to do that. So if I experience somebody who's not being so friendly to me, I shouldn't be shaken in my trust. Am I trust in myself that I'm a good person? And also might be talking to Hashem, that Hashem's being fair to me. Someone is not pleasant to me. I shouldn't be angry. We know all the mitos are intertwined. There's anger. There's worry. All those mitos that work against us, let it not happen just because somebody doesn't act toward me the way that I expected him to. Don't take it personally. And then one other insight about this morning's little experience with thunder. So after coming into shul, I'm making up for all the weeks I don't have enough stories. All right, so remember, we're taking care of it this week in case we don't have enough next week. So during davening, so as I said, I felt unusually tranquil and meyusha because I felt that I was put in my place by that awesome, which is a word I don't like to use very much, unbelievable, incredible, indescribable clap of thunder and lightning where everything looked like it exploded. But then it continued to rain really, really hard. Again, during davening, so you can hear it on the roof of the shul. Really thunderous rain noise. No more thunder and lightning, because I'm telling you that the only thunder and lightning in that whole storm was the one that I experienced halfway from walking to my car to the shul after the first 10 seconds had passed before the last 10 seconds continued. That's the only one. I feel that was sent to me for a lesson. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the Mishnah Sanhedrin says, every person should say, the world created for me. So it's raining in there. The thunder was basically over, totally over. And in the middle of the really hard rain, you can't not notice it. You hear it on the roof. I hear suddenly singing, beautiful singing. It's a bird. There's a bird singing really loudly, joyous melody. And I said to myself, oh, this is beautiful. The bird is davening. The bird is praising Hashem. Through all the tumult, all the commotion out there, the bird knows the Ribbono Shel Olam is fair. In the third Hallelujah, you notice how in the third Hallelujah, that's in the Psukei de Zimra, so we discuss the heavenly realm praising Hashem, and then the earthly realm. And each one goes in the opposite order. But the heavenly realm, it starts from the top, Shemei HaShemayim, and goes down. And then in the earthly realm, it starts from the bottom and goes up. Coming toward the top of the earthly realm are the animals that fly in the sky, the birds. And in Tehillim, it's in Kuf Mem Ches Pasik Yud. It says, Hachaya, wild animals, land animals, the Chol Behema, every domesticated animal, Remes, the swarming, teeming animals like Ramosim. Rashi and Sanhedrin of Ayinav says Ramosim are Shratzim. We won't get into all these categories and classifications now, but they're very important Torah biblical terms. And then it says Vitzipor Kanaf, the feathered bird. And I said to myself, the feathered bird is singing to Hashem through the torrential rain. That's what a human being's supposed to do, through the thunder, lightning, and torrential rain, to be singing to the Ribbono Shel Olam, kind of oblivious to all that stuff that's not in my control, but it's only good because Hashem is only good. And then I said one more thing about storm. Some people have an almost perpetual storm going on inside them, an emotional storm. There are people who have anxiety, people who have fear, people who have sadness, people who have anger. Some people have a storm of inborn anxiety. It reminds me of the davening on the Yom Noroim. You'll notice that in the Chazan repeats the Amida, the Shemoneh Esrei, but it's really an Amida. It doesn't have 18 brachos called the Amida. So he says, Yito'er bekirbi be'es aschil. It's storming. It will storm in my midst at the time that I begin to daven to you, Hashem. I also have a storm going on. Why is it important to know that? Because we know that if a person needs to experience a storm and they already have it inside them, they already have a struggle. Ups and downs, loud, soft, rainy, dry, successful, failing, chas v'shalom. But that's part of life, is that we have ups and downs. So it's not a complete failure, it's temporary. That's what pushes us up. If we have that, maybe we don't have to experience the bigger storms out there, the severe storms that are out there. That's what the Mesillas Yesharim says, that if a person takes things to heart and has an inner storm, doesn't have to experience chas v'shalom yisurim, suffering from Hashem. All of this is what happened today, and it's a wonderful preface to where we're up to in the Aruch HaTzaddikim, because the Aruch HaTzaddikim is talking about davening and learning and doing mitzvos, how we need heavenly, we need divine assistance to be successful in these endeavors, which is what life is all about. HaBitachon HaRavi, and we started it last time. The fourth type of bitachon is Be'inyan Chiyuv HaLev. Is regarding the obligation of a person's heart, a person's aspirations and emotions. Shall Adam meyached libo, and the person's thought, that the person designates, devotes, and unifies his heart. Besanis uvespila. Fasting isn't encouraged in this day and age, but when it comes about, it's okay, that's kindness. But betfila and davening uvishar hamitzvos kulon, with all the other mitzvos we have to do, v'nimna min ha'averos. And does one's best to hold back from transgressions. What is this about? It's about that we need help to do all this. So that's why I'm thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam. Today, I got a lot of assistance. With that thunder, I was able to daven so much better today. It put everything into perspective. Very abruptly, very sharply, very loudly. But that's what I needed at that moment. That's Hashem helping us. Like we said last week, a person needs to go not half-heartedly, half power to do all the mitzvot, to fulfill the precepts of the Torah. No, a person needs to go b'chol kocho. This is a very big challenge for someone who has anxiety or sadness or depression or laziness. So what I need to do is I get up, and we say this so often, get up and go. Do the mitzvot. Sometimes b'chol kocho, just to do the minimum that I'm required to do is b'chol kocho. It takes every ounce of my energy sometimes to just learn, to daven, to do my learning, to be a mensch, to be a yid. But that's what Hashem wants from us. Yispalel b'lev neman. Therefore, a person should daven with a devoted, trustworthy heart. Like we talked about, neman, like Hashem says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Parshas Baloscha, Perek Yud Beis, B'chol Beis Neman Hu. He's trustworthy. I can trust him. Abayis Neman. You can depend on certain behaviors. Well, we're supposed to train our hearts, that our heart is a lev nemon. It can be dependent upon, so to say, that it's going to be locked onto that tefillah. It's going to be devoted and dedicated, and it's going to be focused. That's my lev. My lev should be nemon. I should work on it. But if I'm worried, if I'm anxious, if I'm distracted, this is going to be much, much harder to do. This is why we have to work. I'm working on myself therapeutically to arrive at as much emunah, bitachon, and simcha as possible, which will facilitate, will enable a lev nemon. Uva machshava nekiyah, with a pure, clean thought. Uva chavana, with intent, with devotion. Lishma hagadol, Hashem's great name. All of this is only possible if I cleanse my mind of distractions and I really work in myself all the time when it comes to those three opportunities every day to stand right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to speak directly to Hashem in second person. Baruch Atah, Zeh Dodi v'Zeh Rei, my beloved friend, my only true beloved lifelong friend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes time to speak to him, I have to be working on that kind of all day in a certain way, whatever I do, so that I can be in line with Hashem's way of thinking, kaviyoko, which is bitachon, and to not be worried about things that I can't control. Then when it comes to davening, then I'm as prepared as possible to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without all these things distracting me. We know halachically that Hashem, who gave the Ruach HaKodesh to the Anshe Knesset HaGedola, so they went ahead and they instituted Simcha Shel Mitzvah before we have Shmoneh Esrei. We have Goal Yisrael in the morning, right before Shmoneh Esrei, Geula the Tefillah. Why do we have to be put Geula right before Tefillah? Before we can get up and daven, we have to realize Hashem loves us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. Baruch atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then Hashem spas I tiftach. Hashem, open my lips so I can praise you and daven to you because I cleared my mind. What about it at Mincha time? That's Tehillah the David. It's Ashrei. Ashrei, Hanun v'rachum Hashem. Hashem is so gracious and merciful. This is the preface, the intro to Shmoneh Esrei. Again, Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It's Halach and Shulchan Aruch. If a person is distracted, he's not allowed to daven Shmoneh Esrei, really. Of course, there are mitigating circumstances. It's a minyan time, etc., without getting into the halacha. But it's actually embedded in the way tefillah is designed, the way the different davenings are designed. There's supposed to be something that puts us in the correct frame of mind before we start to daven, so that we can direct ourselves. We can, remember we talked about, we direct our minds toward Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Malkam HaMikdash, to the Aron Kodesh, Ben Shnei HaKruvim. V'zeh anu chayovim lif tolach alav, ulishanen alav. And the Aruch HaSadikim tells us when it comes to this area, it's yet another area that we're obligated to trust in Hashem. I have bitachon, Hashem, that you will help me clear my mind. Ribono Shel Olam, I have bitachon, I will have bitachon. I'll put my burden on you. You'll help me think clearly. You'll help me to not be anxious, not be worried, not be upset. Hashem, I have to have that bitachon in you because I am not able to do it myself. That's what the Aruch HaSadikim is saying. Can a human being really arrive at clarity of mind in order to daven? We're so full of all types of thoughts. It's so challenging. So we have to have bitachon. Ribono Shel Olam, tein atah, help me clear my mind so that when it comes to daven, I can be davening in front of you the way I'm supposed to. Ulishanen elav, to supplicate to Hashem, Lazar osanu, please, Ribono Shel Olam, help me, assist me, so that I can connect to you in davening. This is part of bitachon, says the Aruch HaSadikim. Ulahoros osanu hadrachim hayisharim. And please, Hashem, I'm asking you to help me, to show me, to show us all the ways that are proper, how to go in life. Sometimes it's ambiguous. Sometimes it's foggy. I'm not sure which path to take. I don't know what decision to make. Moshe Amar David Olav Hashalom. This is what David said in Tehillim. Chaf Hei, Pasuk Hei. Hadricheni v'amitecha. Guide me in your truth. V'lamdeni. Hashem, teach me. Lamdeni. Hashem, you teach me. Wait, don't we have a Chavrusa? Don't we have a Rebbe? What do you mean, Lamdeni? No, Ribono Shel Olam. I need you to teach me how to act. There are decisions. Every day we have to make decisions. The Omer, it says, Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes Lamed Hei. Hadricheni v'nesiv mitzvosecha, David said. Guide me in the path of your mitzvos. I need guidance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be my illumination. The Omer says to him, another pasuk can tell him, Kufiyates pasuk lamed, Derech emuna v'charti. I've chosen the path of faith. Now, what does that mean in relation to this discussion? The Or HaSadikim tells us, B'chol zera oya, all this is a proof, Shoya bocher, the ma'aseh ha'avoda, that he was choosing the actions of Hashem's service, and that he needed help, and he acknowledged that need for assistance. Yispalel al shnei devarim. In concluding this paragraph, the Aruch HaSadikim tells us that the person needs to daven about two things. Ha'echad, one of them is l'chazek libo. It's to strengthen the person's heart. The person needs a chizuk. Yibor shalom, I need a chizuk. V'yichudo be'elokim. In his devotion and dedication, and unifying himself and connecting to Hashem. That one needs a lot of assistance to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam and trust in him that he will distance from the person's heart the distraction of this world. It's much easier said than done, but it's a daily labor of love. It's an avoda. Ribbono Shel Olam, please help me not be distracted. Please help me talk to you. When I'm in Shemona Esrei, I said to myself, I'm getting to the end of Shemona Esrei, the golden hour where it's so close to Hashem. Of course, we can always talk to Hashem. But there's something special about Shemona Esrei. We're literally conversing, standing in front of Hashem. So Hashem, please help to distance my thoughts from distractions of the world. Vashani in the second, L'chazek gufo ve'evarav. Oh, to strengthen the person's body and limbs. The person needs to ask for physical help also. That the person will be able to be strong, consistent, and full of power and energy with one's good deeds. And this is what we said earlier. The Aruch HaTzadikim said, he said, but I think he's referring to this whole paragraph, that Hashem should make the person successful, begufo, in his body, his physical health, and in unifying and devoting his heart to Hashem. In summary, we learn from this paragraph of Aruch HaTzadikim, and it's the fourth type of bitachon, the fourth category of bitachon, that we need a lot of heavenly assistance when it comes to serving Hashem. And we're allowed to, and we need to ask Hashem, Hashem, please help me serve you better. Please, Ribbono Shel Olam, help me concentrate when it comes to davening. Please, Hashem, help me rid myself of silly thoughts, distracting thoughts, so that I can connect to you properly. And all this is valid and necessary. As Chazal say, Tein Ata, Moshe could have had that opportunity and said, Tein Ata. We talked about it a few months ago. Hashem, you give us this assistance. And when we keep this in mind, this definitely helps us complete and perfect our bitachon journey to Hashem. And Emir Teshem, next week, we'll continue about the fifth type of bitachon. Thank you so much for joining us.